Mini-episode 403 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by The Unheard Scene, your home for great music interviews of all stripes. Follow them on the web at unheardscene.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late-night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Hello, everybody. Welcome again to the FDH Lounge. Rick Morris and Kyle Ross breaking down the NFC North for you here today. We are taking a look back at 2013 to take a look ahead to 2014. And we, as your prized FDH Lounge dignitaries, taking the responsibility seriously here. This is a division with a lot of intrigue to it, some very explosive offenses, some defenses that are anything but. And that is going to be the very challenging thing if anybody's going to come out of this division and really kind of pose any kind of a threat to the big boys in the NFC West in the playoffs.
Yes. This is a division that I would say underperformed in 2013. To give you some perspective, before the year I said Green Bay would win 10 games. They won 8 with a tie.
Mm-hmm.
10 seemed low before the year. I just said, remember, I was like, something's going to go wrong with Green Bay. We didn't know it would be Aaron Rodgers getting hurt, but that's what it was. Chicago, I said 9-7. They went 8-8. Detroit, I said 8-8. They won 7-9. Minnesota, I said 6-10. They went 5-10-1. So I was pretty close on every team. Yeah. Every team kind of just finished just below what I thought. I think overall, every team has a good shot at improving
right. In
2014. I want to just say something, though, before we get started on an individual basis.
Okay.
The way I look at this division moving forward is very interesting because the year hasn't even started, and I've already changed my opinion like 3 times.
Okay.
And it's only February.
All right.
So late last year, moving forward, it needs to be said that the Detroit Lions ought to be ashamed of themselves that they did not win this division.
It was theirs.
It speaks to the ineptitude of the thankfully now fired Jim Schwartz. In an era of record unemployment, I don't root for anyone in any line of work to get it fired. But Jim Schwartz, that made me happy. As you know, I've ripped him since the first podcast we ever did on this show. I think he stinks. I think he single-handedly lost games for this team. See Thanksgiving 2 years ago. I think he deserved to be shoved by Jim Harbaugh. I just think he wasn't a very smart guy overall.
Jim Harbaugh showed him no class in that moment. Also, he took this team to the playoffs. Let's not sleep on that.
And since that time, they were not good. Remember they started out that year 5-0?
Yeah.
And then they went like 5-6 the rest of the way.
Right.
Last year was 4-12. They lost their last how many ever games in a row? He didn't get fired. They brought him back. Things were looking good. They didn't make the playoffs, and he absolutely deserved to be fired. I think of all the coaches that got fired, he was the one who deserved it.
More than Chud? I can't co-sign on that.
You said Chud didn't deserve to be fired.
I said Chud didn't deserve to be fired, but that's... All right, I guess I got that thought backwards.
Yes, you did.
Yes. I had that thought completely backwards.
Wait, you're
all right,
I was going to say, please don't tell me that you think Jim Schwartz should have been retained.
No.
Mike Shanahan definitely should have been fired.
Yeah, Mike Shanahan is probably...
Not more than Jim Schwartz, though. No one deserved it.
Oh, way more. Mike Shanahan deserved it way more. That's
I think the Dolphins offensive line coach deserved to keep his job more than Jim Schwartz. Okay. But anyway, I told you off air there was a stat that I wanted to reference to you.
Okay.
This just shows you the ineptitude of Jim Schwartz
again.
And I'm so honed into this stat that I'm just going to go right into it so I don't forget it. Since the NFL realigned to its current divisional format, 4 teams, 8 divisions, they did it in 2002, there have been 13 instances, only 13, of one team in a division finishing with a positive point differential.
Okay.
First 12 of those teams all won their division.
Okay.
The 13th was your 2013 Detroit Lions.
Wow.
They were plus 19 in point differential.
Mm-hmm.
Found a way to win it, finish 7-9. Just for the sake of comparison, Green Bay, who was 8-7-1, was actually minus 11.
Okay.
Chicago, who was 8-8, was minus 33. Although a lot of that had to do with that awful game they played against Philadelphia on the Sunday night. Remember that game?
Yeah.
A lot of people in the Windy City still scratched that over that.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to throw this curveball at you.
Okay.
I've hijacked this podcast so far.
Okay.
Now that Jim Schwartz is gone, I feel that there's no better time to jump on the Detroit Lions bandwagon. Every year, there is a team that did not make the playoffs the previous year that earns itself a bye. It was Carolina last year.
Okay.
As I scour the NFL for potential candidates in 2014, I think the leading candidate to do this would be the Detroit Lions.
Wow. Not just to win the division, but get a bye. Well,
somebody's got to get the West is going to get the top seed probably. So you know, somebody else has got to get the
and
two
the
seed.
The East isn't. So
the
it's
East isn't.
It's
so, yeah.
The South and the North, but just that you're picking them to win the division. Well, again, they were in position for that before they fell apart later in the season. And they ended up hiring a gentleman that I have, you know, sort of humorously referred to. I hope not snidely, but humorously referred to as Black Seifert, Jim Caldwell, because, again, the parallels between what happened in San Francisco with Seifert. Well, actually, it's kind of unfair to George Seifert because he did win two Super Bowls and kept that ship going, really, until Steve Young got injured. But, again, Caldwell inherited a great situation.
Was he the coach for that the team that killed San Diego in the Super Bowl?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, he was the coach for that.
Excuse me, the 90s sometimes seemed like a haze.
It was. Yeah. But you didn't think it was Steve Mariucci that was already at the helm for that one, did you? You clearly couldn't have thought that.
No, I thought some other random person was there.
maybe Tom Flores threw his hat, name in the hat. Talk about your most random two-time Super Bowl winners, right?
But no, that wasn't Ray Rhodes.
Well, Ray Rhodes is another guy. Again, hell of a start, inheriting a great situation. That's basically Caldwell's legacy in Indianapolis. And I know a lot of it had to do with it all went to hell when Peyton Manning fell apart. I get that.
Well, but, you know, he had that horrible game against the Jets in the playoffs, Caldwell.
Yeah.
Remember when Mark Sanchez came in?
Yeah.
And the Jets beat the Colts in Indy and Peyton Manning at the end of the game. Remember that famous look? He was just staring at Caldwell like, God, you suck.
Yeah. So I don't necessarily think Caldwell's a bad coach, but I think the jury's really out on him. He may be a classic retread.
Yeah. He's inheriting a lot of talent, and I'll say this.
Yeah.
I would have totally been on this Lions bandwagon for them to be the team to jump up and a non-playoff team to jump up and grab a bye. And they hired Ken Wisenhunt. I was already to anoint Detroit that team. I have a little pause with the Caldwell hire. I'm still trying to figure that out. And I'll tell you this. This Matt Stafford needs to get in.
Yeah.
That also needs to happen. He is not better than Jay Cutler or Tony Romo.
Not necessarily.
They're very similar quarterbacks. Don't you think those three are so similar?
He's not necessarily better than Cutler. But
they all wear backwards caps. And
I'll take him over Romo because he doesn't have a long career of being a choke artist.
He doesn't. Did you watch? Let me tell you. I'm glad you referenced that.
He's had a few choke moments, but nobody rates with Romo for the regularity.
Because he's at least there. Romo is a guy who put 48 points up against the Denver Broncos.
And lost.
Yeah, because his defense gave up 51.
Kyle, he played just well enough to lose. I wanted to see if I could make your head explode.
How did your boy Stafford do? Did you see the game against the Giants late in the year?
Yeah.
One of the worst NFL games I've ever watched in life. A game where Eli Manning and Matt Stafford were taking turns trying to throw the game away. Stafford had the horrible pick six, and that was a microcosm of the Lions' finish. But I think new coach, this team is in position to have a breakthrough year.
Well,
Do they go cornerback? The kid out of Oklahoma State is a name that's been linked to them at number 10. Some people think that they need to draft a nice receiver opposite Calvin Johnson, too. But that could be something they address in round two with this deep business.
There's tremendous wide receiver depth. I'd get the cornerback because, again, you've got the front seven that they're building, especially the defensive line. It's very nice. Yeah, I'd get the cornerback to try and round out the defense a little bit more if I was them. I will give you credit for being daring and picking them to win the division. I am going to go Chalky McChalker in this division here. The way I look at it, it's almost a little bit similar to how I look at it with New England, except I think that Green Bay is going to have a better record than last year. They're 8-7-1 mark, having missed Aaron Rodgers a good chunk of the year. It's a thing where if they could still win the division last year, and they looked completely out of it at the beginning of December, let's not forget this. It was laughable, especially coming off of a Thanksgiving game, that they would do well enough until Rodgers could get back in there to put it away for them to win the division.
Thanksgiving game. Matt Flynn could be the worst quarterback of all time, besides Brandon Weeden and Blaine Gabbert.
He was, he at least had one game to his credit here, which Brandon Weeden will never have. That's one more effort than he'll ever have out there. But this is just a thing where, again, and I mentioned the term to you off here, it has to be, as I look around the league, the term Manhattan Project comes to mind, because it's not just a matter of winning the division. But Green Bay won the Super Bowl a couple of years ago, and they've been perennially expected to make a very good run at it. Mike McCarthy has to, in this offseason, be looking to up the game of this defense, because, again, we've seen in the matchups that they've had with San Francisco, and they certainly haven't all been blowouts. The one in the playoffs was in 2012. But how Green Bay has matched up with San Francisco, until they can beat San Francisco and Seattle, they will not return to the Super Bowl.
No.
So very few teams anywhere in the league have more of an urgent priority in this offseason than Green Bay to maximize this timetable that they have with their offense. And again, to a certain extent, the window, it gets extended now that they have Eddie Lacy in there, more of a running game to take the steam off of Aaron Rodgers. A wide receiving core core that we have seen is very deep and very interchangeable. And so ultimately,
they remind me a lot of New England offensively. And rumor has that McCarthy's going to look to push tempo, which I like.
And
let's tip your cap to progressive people.
The big progressive in a football sense, I don't mind. But as it relates to Green Bay and New England with the offense,
you don't think Detroit should have hired Walter Mondale?
I'm afraid they hired Black Mondale was maybe the point.
Oh, jeez. That should be scrubbed from the record.
But as far as it goes with Green Bay and New England, the obvious point of difference on that is the level of wide receiver play that you have from Green Bay and New England at this point in time. But, yeah, I just think Green Bay is too tough on the offense alone. What they can do with the 11 guys on the defense is going to determine whether this is a team that just makes the playoffs and takes up space or can make another legitimate Super Bowl run.
It's interesting that with what I said about Detroit, that they're, I think, the leading candidate among non-playoff teams to jump up and get a bye. Had Green Bay lost that regular season game to Chicago, they would have been my pick easily.
Okay.
Now, I'm with you. There is no way that they don't improve their win total next year.
Yeah.
If you just Aaron Rodgers being healthy for the full year guarantees
sure.
it.
But that half game to 9-7 guarantees you nothing.
No, it doesn't.
You've got to go beyond
that. I could see them getting to 10 wins.
Mm-hmm.
As far as the defense goes, I completely agree. They'll address it via the draft.
Yes.
They're going to get one player at least to improve that defense in the draft. I think that, like, Dallas, who we talked about in the NFC East, whoever the best defensive player is left on the board is who they're taking,
yes,
regardless of position. They could use help front seven or in the secondary.
They could.
Their defense is pretty woeful. They're 0-4 against San Francisco the last 2 years. You talked about that. So Green Bay, I see as a playoff team.
Mm-hmm.
With Detroit, I see two playoff teams from this division, which unfortunately would leave Chicago on the outside looking in for me.
See, I give them a wild card at 9-7. I think they jump up from 8-8.
Of all the bad defenses in this division, and there are four of them, their defense, the Bears, wow, were they bad last year. It was funny. Go all the way back to when we talked about the New York Jets in the AFC East, how their narrative actually hadn't changed despite the change from Mark Sanchez to Geno Smith.
Right.
How the Chicago Bears narrative changed when they switched the coach, Lovie Smith, to Mark Trestman.
Right.
This was a team that for 10 years or however long Smith's tenure was there, always was carried by defense. They went to a Super Bowl with Rex Grossman as their quarterback, for crying out loud.
Yes.
Last year, this team was all offense, no defense. I think that offense last year may have been the best Bears offense ever, my lifetime. By the way, Mark Trestman.
That was amazing.
Mark Trestman, here's a take they wouldn't agree with in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to stand by it. Mark Trestman's a better football coach.
Wow. Better than the guy who won their only Super Bowl.
I know he's older now. I just can't believe that guy won a Super Bowl. Run the ball is his answer to everything. Buddy Ryan also locked him out of defensive meetings, too.
Yeah. Run the ball was shockingly not his his call when they had the ball on the goal line in the Super Bowl, and he had one of the five greatest running backs in the history of the league.
He still ran it. He just didn't run over the Walter Payton.
Well, yeah, he didn't give it That's true. It was a matter of prioritizing.
I like Mark Trestman. I just think that this defense is in even worse shape than Detroit and Green Bay's. I think
I'll co-sign on that.
Here's something else, too.
What?
Of all the potential first-round picks, as far as predicting them?
That's a nice mashup word.
Yes. As far as predicting them, I don't think there's a pick I'm more confident on in the first round than Chicago at 14 getting the D tackle out of Florida State. Jurdigan?
Yeah.
I think they will run up to the podium to get him because that is a clear need. This team just got run all over on throughout the year, and it's not because they lost Brian Urlacher.
No.
Okay. I mean, he was not in his more formative years when he left. They decided not to re-sign him. So I just think that the defense is just so bad that it's going to cause them to kind of be the odd team out in this division.
Ultimately,
we agree that Minnesota will be last.
Yeah, my sense is that the offense, again, is going to be good enough. You can't put price tag on what happened with the development last year of Alshon Jeffrey, who that was a guy where I questioned how he even fell into the second round when he came out.
I really liked him at South Kakalaki.
College career, yeah.
South Kakalaki?
When he came in, I thought that was a steal for them. Him and Brandon Marshall. I mean, when you're looking at the top 1-2 combos in the league, I mean, I probably still take Atlanta's duo if they're healthy, and there's like one or two others that might be in the conversation, but Marshall and Jeffrey have put themselves squarely at that level.
Yeah.
Matt Forte still doing a bang-up job at running
Cutler
back.
Has to stay healthy.
Cutler
which
has
he never
to stay
does.
Healthy. Yeah, well, yeah, you got to put some of that on the offensive line. They got to keep him healthy as well. Some of the onus is borne by them as well. Defensively, I just don't think they're going to be as brutal as they were a year ago. Here's how I look at it. Even with god-awful defense. They were 8-8. Picking them for 9-7. The defense doesn't have to be that much better to get them one more win based on the history.
I would pick Chicago to win the NFC East.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
And in the AFC, I would think they'd be a playoff team. I just think that you need to be a little better than 9-7 to make the playoffs in the NFC.
Yeah. Yeah. And the North is starting to get a little bit more depth to it.
What division do they play non-conference? You have that offhand? The only reason I ask is because I know it's not the AFC West, and I know it's not the AFC North. They'll either play the South or the East.
Looking to see here. And
the only reason I reference is they were 4-0 against the AFC last year, Chicago.
Okay.
And that was going against the AFC North. So that's kind of always tough to duplicate. They're only 4-8 against NFC teams.
Right. I'm going to pull that up. And in the meantime, while I'm doing that, let's get started on the Minnesota Vikings.
Okay.
We both agree are going to be putrid again. Defensively, we talked about that no teams in this division really have much of anything to work with. But the mind of Mike Zimmer, I think, is certainly going to make a big difference for
Minnesota.
That was
a good hire.
Yeah.
But let's be honest. The reason that everyone's going to pick Minnesota to finish it last, it's not because of the defense. It's because they have no quarterback.
Right.
And the difference is their bad defense goes against Aaron Rodgers, Matt Stafford, Jay Cutler six times.
Right.
Out of their 16 games are against them. We have a bad defense, and they don't have a quarterback that can trade points.
Right.
Now, that could change. They pick number 8. It's going to be interesting to see if one of the big three quarterbacks is still on the board when they pick at 8.
It will be interesting to see. By the way, brief side note on Chicago, because that division is playing, this will be fairly forgiving. They're playing the AFC East. So they got home games against Buffalo and Miami, road games against New England and the Jets.
Okay, so, New England is a game that you'd figure they'd drop, but they could beat those other three teams.
Yeah, they have
Chicago.
A very good chance.
Yeah, and so it's AFC East versus NFC North next year. Minnesota, as you know, you and I, this was another team that, like Washington, this was a playoff team from 2 years ago that we were really down on going into last year. You and I were. Basically because if your game plan is, hey, Adrian Peterson, why don't you go out and have another one of the greatest seasons in the history of your position again?
Right.
If that's what you're banking on, that's the chance of that happening again, we're not good. He was never really healthy. Quarterback play, we've beaten that into the ground. You know, had three quarterbacks last year that started. None of them were any good. It looks like they're keeping Ponder around. I don't think Josh Freeman's going to last after that disastrous game on Monday Night Football. And then Matt Cassel is just who he is. He's just very average.
But again,
below average.
Like with the Jacksonville circumstance with Chad Henne, the benefit of having somebody in there that doesn't suck as bad as the other guys, you can't put a price tag on. I mean, out of that bunch, Castle's got to be the guy. But again, this is why you want to draft a quarterback or whatever. I've seen projections somehow that Bridgewater slips to 7.
They're eight. Yeah.
Eighth.
Well,
I don't believe
that. I think he could. I heard some people are concerned about his size. I would not be stunned.
I've heard some people concerned about his ankles, of all things. Are his ankles thick enough?
Well, he is very lean in the legs, they say.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's no Hillary Clinton in that regard.
Jeez. That was uncalled for. That was uncalled for.
I had to go there.
I just think that until they get a competent quarterback in here, this team's a shoo-in to be in last place. I don't think I'm going to be as down on them this year as I was last year, just because they were such an obvious candidate to regress last year. I could see them kind of finishing with the same record. I could see them maybe
5-10-1. I got them at 6-10.
Yeah, I could see them turning that tie into a win. They were the only team in the league last year that did not win a game on the road. They were 0-7-1.
Okay.
Something else to keep an eye on with this team while we're
You know what, though? They won the neutral site game against the Squealers over in London. So, I mean, technically, I guess, in terms of who gets designated as the home team or the road team.
But they must have been the home team for that, obviously.
Yeah, that's one that wasn't in their barn.
Okay,
so
how about this? They won no true road games.
Okay, all right.
Using a college basketball term.
I was not trying to nitpick you there.
No, it's a very valid point.
Okay.
But here's something else here that I'm going to throw out at you while we're just throwing out random things about the Minnesota Vikings.
Okay.
Aren't they playing outdoors now?
Yes, for the next 2 years while they get their new place built.
Do we have any opinion on how that impacts the team?
No. Any Adrian Peterson-oriented offense is already more built for the run anyway.
Yeah, I mean, they weren't exactly a great passing team.
Yeah, it's not like this is a finesse team that's going to struggle in the snow.
Yeah.
Actually, their
offense looked great in the snow that one game against Baltimore. I like Patterson, that receiver. Patterson, I like him a lot.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he could develop.
He replaced, he, you know, they got a break with him. He kind of replaces Percy Harvin.
Well, this this sharp new up-and-comer that's their offensive coordinator is Norv Turner fellow. Rumor is he likes to stretch the offense a little bit. So I don't know how.
Do you know that he's a good coordinator? Norv Turner?
Yeah.
He's a good coordinator.
Yeah, look at what he did in Dallas.
Yeah, yeah, how long ago was that? Well, was Tom Landry still the coach then? Jared Allen's probably gone with Minnesota, though.
Yeah.
It'll be if Khalil Mack, who I don't think, you know, you talk about, I can't believe Teddy Bridgewater would fall to
right.
Minnesota. They might be praying that Khalil Mack falls to him, too, because he could replace Jared Allen, who you can't pay. I mean, like I said, you
right.
can't pay based on past performance. Give the guy a gold watch at a ceremony and say, good luck to you, Jared.
Well, the thing of it is, too, is that, and I realize that very few deals get made in season, but if you're Minnesota and you got off to the start that they did last year, Jared Allen's a guy that, again, if you see what your near-term future is going to be, and he's already getting up there in age anyways. He's defying age to an extent, but you can already see, you know, the other side of the hill coming in his case. That's a guy that they've already waited too long on. They were too cocky based on having made the playoffs the year before.
Yeah, I agree.
That year was an absolute exception to the rule if you look at where their franchise has been for the last decade plus.
Yeah, they were actually, all right, take out the neutral site game. They were 4-3 at home. They actually had a winning record at home.
Okay.
So will they be able to duplicate that outdoors? I don't know.
I don't necessarily know either. And, yeah, because their identity, it may change with Norv Turner at the helm offensively. And you have to figure that he's going to be given a lot of latitude with a new defensive-oriented coach calling the shots there with Mike Zimmer. I wouldn't expect him to be real hands-on with the offense. I'll just say this at the end here in passing. I always find it very interesting when you hire a defensive-oriented coach and yet it's very clear that you're going to be bringing in a new quarterback. I mean, it's worked so far in Indianapolis with Pagano and Andrew Luck.
Although Pagano wasn't there to didn't preside over it the first year.
Well, yeah, that's true. You had Bruce Arians there a good chunk of the time, and you know maybe Bruce Arians probably had a lot of control over the offense. But I guess that's more my point: is that it's almost more incumbent upon you to hire somebody as your offensive coordinator who can be almost head coach like with your quarterback because he's going to be the one developing the most. So, for better or for worse, Norv Turner is going to have the fate of whoever they take squarely in his hands, way more so, I'd say, even than Mike Zimmer. It'll be very interesting. And other teams this year are in the same boat. The Cleveland Browns are as well with Mike Patton / Kyle Shanahan / the new quarterback. So we'll see. But clearly you and I agree, Minnesota, last place again here. We differ on who takes the division. You say Detroit. I say Green Bay again. I admit that mine is the safe pick. But again, I think Green Bay is going to be in the mix ultimately for the NFC Championship before it's all said and done. And that's, again, assuming that they retool a lot on defense, as I'm sure that they will.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, all Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classic, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Awkwafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.